early, doing fantastic stuff here. Look, it's all about free agency right now. A lot of good times going on in general, of course. Lately, I've been in town here on assignment with Pro Player Insiders. I had an opportunity to talk to some NFL players during the week. Can't really break down exactly that, but it was a great time here in Orlando, and a lot of news coming out of there soon. So pay very close attention to ProPlayerInsider.com. Good time there. Of course, you will always find National Gridiron Network bringing you football talk just the way you like it there on the NationalGridironNetwork.com site. And of course, hey, you know what, Weasel? I got to get you in here somehow. Weasel Weeds!
Yeah, boy!
Oh, that's where it's at. Chris, of course, making the world safer for democracy there. And I got to tell you up front, Weasel, I don't really know exactly where to start. There's been so many moves. The bad thing about us having a show only once a week, other than people don't get to hear how awesome we are on a regular basis, I got to tell you, we're behind on an awful lot of free agency moves. And it was very strange, just some of the moves you saw. And one of them, as I looked at it today, and it's a more current move, it took place on the 15th, was Steve Smith to the Baltimore Ravens. Now, I got to tell you, buddy, there's been a lot of talk that the Panthers do not respect Steve Smith enough lately. There's even talk that they removed his merchandise, selling his jersey and merchandise from the site about a week ago or so, or during the past week, I should say. So, kind of an indicator there. But I want to let you go ahead. Steve Smith, did the Panthers make a bad move in letting him go? I'll ask that question.
Well, is it a bad move going through? Well, right now you got to look at who they got left. And I don't think it's much. So I could see them going for the draft or maybe signing like a lower tier guy.
Right. I mean, Brandon LaFell doesn't exactly jump out at you as an elite receiver. I know they got Greg Olsen, who's a great tight end. There was talk that Hakeem Nicks might go there. We talked about that last week. After all, his wish came true. He will be catching passes from Andrew Luck. So that's off the table there. They don't have that option. Dominic Hickson was an acquisition for there. I don't know that he's still there, so there's that. But when it comes to receivers, I think they're a little thin. But let me ask you this, Weasel. If there's a team that can survive without receivers, could be argued the Carolina Panthers are one, possibly?
Yeah, they do have a good running game. So, but I think with the signings recently, it's the Panthers. I think Hakeem Nicks still hasn't been signed, right?
Oh, no, he's with the Colts.
With the Colts?
I didn't put it up on the board. I just thought of it as we were talking about it because there's been that much going on. And, you know,
a lot
because,
of stuff.
Because pre-show tech issues and whatnot, mostly me forgetting what the password is. No, but in all seriousness, there's an awful lot going there. And I think, you know, they're trying to put the – look, they're putting the team on Cam's back. Let's call that what it is. Cam Newton has proven that, you know – how's that song go? You can tell everybody I'm a man, I'm a man. That's basically what he's shown to the Carolina Nation, getting as far as he did in the playoffs. And heck, winning a division featuring the New Orleans Saints. Always a good accomplishment. That offense pretty fired up there, too. Not as much next year, possibly. We talked a bit about the fire sale in New Orleans last week. But let me ask you this question. In Steve Smith going to the Baltimore Ravens, Weasel, got to ask this question. Do you think there's an element of... how you say, we learned our lesson in letting Anquan Boldin go?
I see what you're saying there. So, yeah, getting rid of Boldin, it's like, for the Ravens, I mean, you saw their, you know, the production go down, and he was a solid player for the 49ers. So,
yes, so solid as a matter of fact that a player that was a sixth-round draft pick in the previous offseason, this season, was signed to a three-year extension, I believe it was. So, hey... good times all the way around if you're Anquan Boldin. And I guess in this case, the 49ers, who got a good receiver out of it. But let me take it somewhere else, Weasel. Something I think you'll think is funny. Because you're a guy that likes to talk about draft picks and values. You remember what draft pick... I might have just said it earlier, too. But let's pretend I didn't. You remember what draft pick Anquan Boldin was traded to get to the 49ers, didn't you?
I believe it was a sixth round.
Okay. And the Niners recently acquired somebody else with a sixth round pick. Do you know who that is?
Remind me?
That would be quarterback Blaine Gabbert. Wow. So basically, what the Ravens have done is say that Blaine Gabbert has the same value as Anquan Boldin.
There are two teams I think of when I talk about Blaine Gabbert. It's actually the Vikings, because the Vikings, they got Christian Ponder at quarterback, and he may not be the answer, but right now he's still on the roster. Mm. So right now for the
for the Niners is where Gabbert's playing, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Thanks. Right. Yeah. For the Niners, getting Gabbert, it means that the Jags are going to be drafting a quarterback. I think they're number three.
I think you're right there too. And you know, another move, and I know it's not on the board there too. So you know, pop quiz. Gotcha. No, another move that we're talking about quarterbacks. But this quarterback comes from your team's territory of the NFC North. And, of course, I'm referring to Josh McCown. A lot of people were talking about the fact that, I was about to say Grossman, no, Cale. Jay Cutler shouldn't be signed a bigger contract at all, which they signed a contract, an extension with him earlier that I thought was highly appropriate. But McCown has since departed Chicago, and he was signed in Tampa. Now, you may know a little somebody there named Mike Glennon who performed reasonably well. I thought he did okay as a rookie with that team. How inspired they were was a question at times. But Josh McCown, in Tampa anyway, has been announced the starter. Thoughts on that?
Well, Josh McCown, it's years back. It's like you kind of always saw him as like one of the lower tier quarterbacks.
Right, he was a starter for the Cardinals at one point. Is that?
Yeah, and
with Emmitt Smith as a running back. Ha! There's some trivia for you.
If the guy had a contract year, and what does he do? He, I think, it was 13 touchdowns, one INT, and he was doing good all season. So it gives the team some hope, because early on I didn't really like him. I thought it was just pretty average, but. It's a quality backup, and if he starts, I mean, we'll see if he goes back to last year's success or new team, maybe not.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned new team. Of course, the new head coach in Tampa being Lovie Smith may have a little something to do with that. Just throwing that out there for general knowledge purposes and whatnot. And I'll tell you what, when it comes to the Bears, there was a lot of talk of some former Bears possibly going in that direction, including one who's been cut. That blew my mind. My mind, I tell you. It was in pain. Julius Peppers, no longer a Bear. First of all, if you haven't done this already, it's a failure as a husband. I hope you've hugged your wife, the huge Bears fan, and consoled her in this time of pain. That is, if you could get within the 5-foot radius of the tantrum she must have thrown.
Oh, yeah.
And I can't blame her for it. It sounds like I'm making fun of her. I'm not. That is something that if I were a Bears fan, I would not be happy about. Myself, so some chocolates and wine on your way home tonight for her for this. I know you're probably a week late on it, but you know I think that would help her a little bit, because between that Devin Hester's departure and all that's been going on with Peanut Tillman, it is not a good time to be a Bears fan. A lot of mumbo jumbo going on there.
It's one thing that that Peppers goes to a different team.
Yes,
and he goes to the Packers, which is. They're a little division rival. Now, Matthews.
Hold on. I'm not saying you're wrong. A little division rival.
Little division rivals. Yeah, just a little bit.
They only belong to the oldest rivalry in NFL history.
Yep.
Perhaps you heard of a little team known as the Decatur Staleys. Yeah, they're now the Bears. I'm just throwing that out there.
So, essentially with Peppers, he's going to be lined up opposite of Clay Matthews, which Clay Matthews, I think he was double-teamed a lot, and his production the past couple of years, not like spectacular, but when you have a team, the defense against the Packers, they got to go up against Clay Matthews and Peppers. That's going to be pretty intimidating, because you have to pretty much double-team one of them, but the other guy's going to be one-on-one. So
create those one-on-one matchups. They also have retained B.J. Raji. Perhaps he will shine once again, because the interior line won't be in a position to, say, be devoted to, you know, Raji. They have to worry a little bit. I don't. It's intriguing. It's intriguing. And that Packers defense has needed help. You mentioned Clay Matthews. He's been their only real threat, per se. And, that would be... that. They need more pressure on the opposing quarterback, and I'll leave it at that.
All I'll say is about having a good pass rush. If you don't have a good pass rush, what usually happens is it gives the quarterback time to run around, and you can get the best corners in the world. But if you give them like 7 seconds where they got to cover a guy because the quarterback's not getting blitzed as much, a good corner can look pretty bad. So I think that's gonna, because they don't have to have this big great defensive backcourt if they're getting pressure on the quarterback. So.
Yeah. Okay. I then you don't need as much help in the secondary when the quarterback's in trouble. I like that theory. I like that theory. It's part of what got the Vikings successful when they had Favre for the 1 year where they made it to the NFC Championship. You know, that defensive line was pretty vicious,
mm-hmm.
and was a key to a lot of their defense. And unfortunately, they weren't as vicious as the Saints' defense, but maybe that's a little too soon to bring that up. Anyway, so we mentioned the Bucs earlier, and we would be remiss, Weasel, if we did not mention the concept that Darrell Revis, no longer a Buccaneer. So Darrell Revis just keeps going, yeah, okay, I want more money. Yeah, okay, I want more money. I mean, there's a pattern here. This is the guy that held out on the Jets with 3 years left on his contract, got his extension, then wanted another one, got to Tampa, played there a year, and now wants another contract.
Revis is the kind of player that gives the defensive coordinator a lot of leeway, because usually, like, what they do is for Revis, especially in his days with the Jets, you put him on someone and you forget about it. Revis is just, he's great. It's 1 year after that surgery, so he could show he at least played the season. But they took a 1 year contract for a guy that can really change their defense. So it was a good pick, and plus they needed to replace Aqib Talib, who was 2 years ago, I believe the Patriots traded like a fifth round pick or so.
Yeah, to acquire him, right.
For him, and he turns out to be like one of the top cornerbacks in the NFL.
So. Well, certainly the only real talent in the secondary the Patriots have, for certain, for the past couple of years. I see where you're going there, too. And I think you're right. I think the Bucs have yet to truly have a corner as good as him until Revis arrived last season. And they've been relying on Deshaun Golson to also help in that secondary. Yeah, Weasel, what you got?
Now, what kind of defense did the Tampa play? Did they play like a cover two, which I've heard before, or because usually in the cover two you have the safeties playing back, of course, and the corners, they're not pressing against them. They're kind of, they give up yards, but not the touchdown.
Right.
So I think maybe he wasn't utilized as much as he could. So, but he got a good thing going with the Patriots.
Well, in Revis's case, it's not like he had a horrible year, too. He was coming off the knee injury. So any drop in his numbers could really be contributed to that as well. I mean, I don't know. I'll leave that at that. I mean, we could take that in several different directions in itself. But what's about as intriguing as the fact that Revis left Tampa was the fact of his new home being in New England. So for those keeping track, Revis was a Jet first. Goes to another team, comes back to his first team's rival. You know, I've not heard a lot about New York fans. Well, yeah, you have. Leading media market and all that other kind of stuff. Forgiveness, not a strong point.
Yeah.
Of the Jet fan public. I mean...
Well, they missed the guy because he was, you know, one of the top shutdown corners in the NFL. And after that injury, it was sad. It was you saw one of the best guys had to sit out a year.
Yeah.
And but it was nice him coming back. And one thing about, I think people say like, oh, he wants the money, he wants to get paid and all that.
Hey, must be the money.
I think it was the Browns and the Raiders both offered him about like $16 million, but he decided to go with the Patriots, and I think one of his quotes was, it was all about winning. Because when you have talent like that, you get paid. Some guys get, and you'll see that in free agency, some guys get overpaid. So, but Revis, it's a high risk, but high reward with that guy.
Yeah, well, a high price tag in the form of the high risk here, perhaps. And, you know what I find kind of, what's his word? You mentioned the part before where he set out for a year because he got hurt. He still caught flack, though, because the year he got hurt was after what? He held out for that contract extension when he still had, I think it was 2 or 3 more years on a contract. So you're not going to get much sympathy from Jets fans on that front. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm saying they're going to say, well, he would have gotten hurt if he went to camp and dirk-a-dirk-a-dirk, you know. So
it's all hindsight.
Yeah, and it's beautiful ability to be 2020, so to speak. Now, what, since we're talking about the Jets, I'll go here first. A little bit of transition. Not a good segue, because I paused. I won't take credit for it, Weasel. That's my bad. But when we're talking about the Jets, you got to talk about two things. First of all, the departure of Santonio Holmes. I'm not going to say it's long overdue, but I can see why they went a different direction. Basically, Holmes, while being the top receiver, has either been hurt or referred to affectionately as a locker room cancer. Right, because that's the title I want, you know. Or a title I want to have one of my players possess, right? Because that's a great thing. No, but, yeah, it's bad. But what I'm trying to get to on that, Weasel, is, and they also cut Antonio Cromartie, who's a pretty solid... has been a pretty solid corner throughout the years. Kind of the first of the modern era of the big corners, you know, taller than 6 foot and able to get a little bit physical with you, so to speak, right? Yep. Which is now, I mean, now the prototype would obviously be a Revis or a Richard Sherman, right? You know, so. But you may have heard, and we spoke about him last week, Eric Decker. First of all, when you talk about receivers getting overpaid, are you referring to Eric Decker?
Well, he did sign with the Jets, and the thing about him, he gets a $36.25 million over 5 years and $15 million guaranteed. So they have another guy, Stephen, it was Stephen Hill, I believe?
Yes, correct. Very good.
And so the question is, I mean... is Decker a number one wide receiver? Because he's getting paid pretty well, but I think he did have on the Broncos he had the other wide receiver.
Oh,
Demetrius Thomas.
Yeah, Demaryius Thomas. Close enough.
So,
and Peyton Manning.
Yeah,
there's that.
Manning helps. Oh yeah. So you think there's going to be a difference with Manning throwing to you versus what? You got possibly
what, Geno Smith? You don't think he's as good as Manning?
Geno Smith.
Oh no, Geno. goodness gracious. No, look, I know we make the joke because rhymes are fun. No, I know we make the joke, but honestly, the jury is still out on Geno Smith. I think he's made some boneheaded mistakes. I think he's had some very solid games.
Libby played pretty much most of the whole year.
He did miss some games to injury, but yeah, he played a lot of the year. He didn't miss as many games as his what will always be his counterpart, the quarterback he's compared to, thanks to his draft class, EJ Manuel. Manuel, I believe, missed more games, but Geno Smith. I'll put it this way: the jury's already out, and I think Geno Smith was forced into a position to fail. Now I've said it out front. I don't think Geno Smith is one who's going to find a ton of success in the NFL. I don't think he's that good an NFL quarterback prospect when he came in the draft. That's what I said.
I see them about 2 years or 1 year. I don't think I'm saying 2 years that Geno Smith will be with the Jets, and they're going to decide. Pretty much, I think like Gabbert, you're going to have a player that was drafted to be your franchise quarterback. And Gabbert was like a number 10 overall pick.
Right.
And so if you have a team that's willing to depart from a quarterback that's not working with them, One of them you can see as the Jets with Sanchez. So he's still on the team, but...
Oh, Sanchez, I thought he was cut. He was cut last season, I know that. But let me elaborate a little bit on a point you made, bro. When it comes to Geno Smith, and you were talking about him being drafted or whatever, you said that they'll keep the Jets will keep him for 2 more years, which means you think Smith will be a third-year player as a Jet.
I think they'll give him time to prove himself.
Okay.
And the thing you got to throw in next is...
your pardon expression.
Yeah. So he's... I mean, he's got a lot to learn, but at least he was able to learn with the experience last year, because him sitting on the bench so long, I don't know. I think it would have been nice where, you know, if he had a guy that can be dependable, because Sanchez wasn't at all.
So, yeah, you could definitely argue that.
And so we shall see.
Well, let me throw this out at you, too. You said that Geno Smith was likely to be a three-year Jet. I don't think you're far off, unless this or next year. Actually, I should say next year, because this year, well, I'll put it this way. Next year, if the Jets tank and are horrible and are last place in the AFC East, it's quite possible that with Jameis Winston possibly coming out, although there's talk that he'll stay at FSU for 2 more years, that... You really think, I'll put it this way, do you think the Jets would pass on Jameis Winston just to give Geno Smith 1 more year? I don't.
Well, the draft's always going to change things.
Of course.
So, I mean, if you draft like a guy like him, it's, I think it's like, who do you want to, like, you got to know who's going to be your franchise quarterback.
Sure.
And Geno Smith maybe will get a short leash, but, the thing is that if there's a guy like the Florida State quarterback,
Jameis Winston,
out there, and it's like the kind of player you just can't pass on, because you got like Cam Newton, similar with Cam Newton with
Carolina.
Well, in college they both.
Excuse me.
They both won the national championship game. And
actually, Cam lost to Andrew Luck. Or yeah.
Oh, that was like the one of the last minute ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, but pretty much coming out of college, both of them, you know, are like, you know, top 5 picks. So time will tell. But it's good to if you have a chance to draft a guy like the Florida State guy, you take it.
Yeah, I that's kind of what I'm getting to is if the Jets. I'll put it this way. If the Jets actually worsen their position, and Jameis Winston said, like I said, he's going to be out for 2 more years possibly because he's enjoying playing baseball. I know this is radio and not TV, but Weasel sees right now I'm putting my judgment face on. Baseball. No. I mean, honestly, if you're somebody who's gifted enough athlete to try and do multiple sports, I still don't know where I come out on that yet. Not to mention... calendars are going to be a problem.
But. I think he should be, you know, he's going to take the choice to football, but I guess he's going to try both.
I mean, because Deion Sanders, who, twist of fate in full circle, I believe was also a Florida State Seminole.
Bo Jackson was one of those...
he was not a Florida State Seminole, but he did do multiple sports, correct?
Yes, so...
Okay, well, there you go. Get a little bit of history for the chitlins out there. If you don't know who Bo is, just look up Bo Knows on YouTube. You like what I did?
Yeah, I like that. Cute?
Anyways, my throat is killing me. I'm going to run and get a drink, and that means I get to put a break for you guys. We'll be right back in just a minute. This is the Student of the Game on the National Gridiron Network.
The National Gridiron Network. Join us as we tell you what is happening with your favorite team in the NFL or the NCAA. Listen in as we preview every football game, week by week, to the end of the season. Follow us at NationalGridironNetwork.com and read up on the latest that is happening across the football landscape. NGU, football talk, just the way you like it.
And we are back here on the National Gridiron Network. Here I am, Kyle Nash, the Student of the Game, and here with me as always, doing his thing, Weasel Weasel!
Yeah, boy!
That's right. I gotta tell you, Weasel, I gotta give you props on that. I can tell from over here, You are sharp and engaged in research, but you still had time for a solid yeah, boy. That's what it's all about. We are performers here on the Student of the Game. We also love talking football just the way you like it. Like that flow. You like that. I can tell.
It's good.
Excuse me. I killed me. What can I say? And we were talking a lot about moves with defense and DBs in general. And something I want to throw to you is that there was a weakness for the NFL runners-up last year who got blasted, I say, in the Super Bowl, the Denver Broncos. What would you say that weakness is?
For the Broncos?
Correct.
I'd say they could have used a better pass rush.
I would have said it starts with D,
yeah,
as in defense. But yeah, you could go pass rush. I would also argue they're secondary. Chan Bailey, sadly, is no more. I believe he has been cut, and, you know, tears and sadness, and that's bad, you know, but they had to come. However, the Broncos have made two very intriguing acquisitions in their DB core. At corner, Hakeem Talib, former Patriot, also the guy that beat the Bucks and Revis and the replacement and the thing with the... Yeah, so anyways, he's a Bronco now, which that makes... The second player in as many years that the Broncos have just straight jacked from the New England Patriots. And we're not talking wimpy players here. We're talking about a top-level receiver in Wes Welker and a top-level corner in Keep Tlaib, which, by the way, poses a very interesting question. You might have remembered during the playoffs last year, Weasel, and tell me if you don't, or tell me if you do, so tell me if you've heard this one. But Bill Belichick was claiming that Wes Welker put a dirty hit on Hakeem Talib.
Ah, yeah, I know what you're talking about. It was, I think it was like a slant route, and I guess it was kind of like Welker was making, like, in basketball, a move, a pick.
Yeah, it was a pick play, yeah.
And just the way that maybe, I think it was Thomas maybe was slanting, that when the pass was thrown.
So
Thomas was on a slant route.
And Wes Welker was setting the pick for Demaryius Thomas.
Yeah, he was gotcha. Setting the pick, and yeah, Belichick calls that you say he didn't agree with that, but essentially Walker, he ran into him.
Yeah,
and the pass was thrown, and it's not malicious. You think Welker is gonna, you know, try to take out someone?
First of all,
especially when you're like the shorter guy. Oh, doesn't weigh as much.
Yeah, you got it. And by the way, the thing I want to add to that is having suffered concussions previously that season. But I'm going to go take this guy on just to see what's up. No. Yeah,
exactly.
Now, moreover, they're teammates.
And the thing is, he was with the Patriots for how many years? And you have Belichick say that? It's like, jeez.
Bitter.
You kind of know a player, I would think, but...
Apparently not all that well. Yeah. I'm just saying. I'm saying. That's what I'm trying to say.
I bet Tom always says, you took away my Walker. And he's using it against him.
You incomplete me. See, it's funny because an incompletion is a missed pass, too. You like that? See? Full circle. Boom!
Gotcha.
The only way you can find this much money is in the Darrell Revis contract. That's awful. No, anyways. You know, let's jump over to another acquisition made by the Broncos. And really, it's a position I feel like they've had kind of a weakness in since... the retirement of Brian Dawkins. For a short time there, they had my guy, John Lynch, which that's my dude. I'm a fan of John Lynch. He is among my favorite defensive back, if not defensive player in general. I have to work on that. That would be a tough show for me. Favorite defensive players by the... Oh, wait a minute. J.J. Watt. Next question. but they signed T.J. Ward. And I got to tell you, Weasel, a lot of Browns fans unhappy with T.J. Ward in place. Now, you said pass rush first when it comes to the Broncos.
Mm-hmm.
But they've gone the other direction. They're looking for improved coverage. I'm just wondering out loud at this point. If the Broncos found a way, to acquire a Julius Peppers... Or a DeMarcus Ware.
Mm. Sounds like a good fit.
Mm. Yeah. I'd venture to say that, too. By the way, why did you talk about DeMarcus Ware, Kale? He plays for the Cowboys. He's a very essential player. They would never cut him. About that, yeah, they cut him. So
is he? I don't think it's that ridiculous. But he is getting up there in age. But 3 years, $30 million, and $20 million in guarantees. Where for the guy that was the Cowboys' defense, and he's productive, you know, each year. I think it wasn't, you know, too much for that kind of talent. But the question is, like, why did the Cowboys do it? Was it to save money?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They were above the cap at one point in the offseason here.
Stinks that you got to get rid of your best defensive player.
Yeah, no lie right there. They got rid of him. Miles Austin also hitting the free market. I'm due to that. I'm sure they at least thought about parting with Dez Bryant, but then didn't because they're like, yeah, he's good. So, not that Miles Austin is bad. I don't mean to imply that. Hell, I mean, as a support receiver, would you have a problem with him donning, let's say, a Vikings uniform for playing for your team?
For DeMarcus Ware?
No, for Miles Austin.
Miles Austin? He was pretty productive with the Cowboys. He had a good rapport with Tony Romo. And I think he could, let's see, he was kind of, I think, a number one or number two with the Cowboys. So I
when see he was him, on the field.
Yeah, as a second wide receiver, because Dez Bryant, you know, pretty much they focused on him, and rightfully so. The guy's talented.
Yeah.
But the...
Which team?
Yeah.
The Cowboys.
Yeah, the Cowboys got rid of Miles Austin.
Right.
And so the guy can be productive. He was multiple years with the Cowboys, so I think he can add on to a team like the Vikings. I wouldn't mind it. It's good to have veteran leaders that can play.
I can't front on that. Not for a second. Okay. I'll leave that at that. I wasn't kind of expected for, you know. We got to Miles Austin, and he's not on the board, and that kind of threw me off, and I brought him up. What was up with that? No, but... This is what happens when you spend a lot of time hanging out with NFL players, with pro player insiders. You kind of forgot what was happening with your research, and then you do this and make mistakes about your board. But then Weasel bails you out because he's awesome. Hmm. No, next on the list here, something I wanted to kind of look at too is all the movement that's taking place in the 49ers secondary. It's the 49ers, Kyle. You're such a homer. Hey, shut it. A lot happened. Okay. No, but there's already been talk that Carlos Rogers may part. I don't know that that's happened yet. They have since parted ways with Dante Whitner, who replaced T.J. Ward in Cleveland. A full circle right there. Ba-boomba. You're welcome. But Whitner leaving is a worry. I remember somebody saying, well, it sucks that the 49ers got rid of Dante Whitner. But I was in the very fortunate position to say, but you know what? They got Antoine Bethea. I'll be all right.
You guys will be okay.
I'll be all right. You know, also received corner Chris Cook of the Saints to fill some gaps there at the corner spot here. I just actually saw that took place, I believe, on the 15th, so Saturday. So, I think the Niners secondary will be fine. What worries me isn't their defense. But let's just say that they went a different direction. Let's just say they didn't get a big name or a veteran at the safety spot like Antoine Bethea. Would you be worried about the 49ers?
If this was like the start of preseason or something,
yeah,
I would be a little worried. But we still got an NFL draft that's coming up.
Oh, yeah.
And because they made that replacement, I mean, that's one position they don't have to focus on. So... Yeah, I think 49ers would be okay, because there's still a lot of time left for until the regular season. So.
Oh, sure. I mean, the draft isn't, but for more than another month away since they moved it back to May. So, which, by the way, why? Why? Anyways, no, it's funny. I got nothing. I don't know where to even take that. But at the as we're going with that, Weasel, let me put it this way. The reason why I'm worried about the 49ers defense is this. No, it's not so much their secondary, but And they do still have Patrick Willis. That's going to be fine. I'm a little worried about Navarro Bowman. That freak injury that took place in the Conference Championship Sunday game versus the Seahawks. It's looking like he's going to miss the start of the regular season. A lot of guys, including the NGN Zone, Teron Davenport, I believe, had Navarro Bowman as their defensive player of the year. So that's even over Luke Kuechly and some of the other bigger names, Robert Mathis, all those kinds of cats. You know, it's a very troubling injury. Now, the Niners will still have a great defense. But again, if your defense is falling off just a little bit, and you're trying to go up against this crowd in the same division known as the Legion of Boom, I mean, that's a rough place to be. It's a rough place to be, you know. I mean, I personally, anything where you give Russell Wilson a little bit more breathing room when he's supported by the LOB is a bad thing, and Navarro Bowman's injury certainly does that for the Seahawks. And as much as people like the concept of the Seahawks repeating, one could argue Navarro Bowman's injury helps in that front, at least early in the season, depending on when the schedule is. We do not have that at this time, but I don't know. I'm making sense, right?
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, Weasel follows me. And if you need a little help with that, go ahead and tweet me at the SOTG. And if you wish to ask what kind of drugs I'm on, the answer is none, because we don't have that in Florida. That's legal in Washington, where the Seahawks are. Boom. I don't know. I had to make the joke. You know what's up.
Well, we talked about Seattle. They just got rid of Golden Tate.
Yes.
And Golden Tate, I mean, the guy was like, you know, people who saw, like, you know, he's good, you know. But an interesting thing about him is that I think they had a stat where he was targeted, I think, like 144 times or something, 49 times, and he's missed, like, I think, 5.
Is that in the season?
Maybe could be career, but
okay.
I don't think he had 144
149 targets, 150 yeah. targets in the season. Yeah, that does seem pretty high.
He was up there, and he went over to the Lions. Now,
well, before you go there, 149 and 5 really could be argued if you're talking to a Packers fan as 149 and 6, because he was the one involved with the inaccurate reception.
That's awesome.
Just for the record there, because ref strike. I don't know. But you were saying, I'm sorry.
Well, the thing about Calvin Johnson's career is that he's been always looking for someone opposite him that, you know, can really produce.
Right.
And
not that Nate Washington is bad. He's just old and has been hurt.
It's just with Golden Tate coming to the Lions, it's going to give them that number two option that can make big plays. He's a playmaker. And people don't think it is, but the thing is he's going to be a viable starter with Calvin Johnson, and it'll make Matt Stafford's life easier.
Well, and of course, Calvin Johnson. Can we have a discussion about Calvin Johnson for just a minute? First of all, best receiver in the NFL, in my opinion, considering the situation he faces. Okay? What support is there? Don't worry, I'll wait. Oh, Reggie Bush. Fine. When he's on the field. Okay? I'm a Reggie Bush guy. I'm not a huge fan of him, but I always liked what he's done. And as a rookie, I was even maligned by our very own Stephen Weasel Hurley when I gave Reggie Bush props.
Yeah.
But you know, I think Reggie Bush is a good player. Does he have health issues? Yeah. But what running back really doesn't? Can we be real on that for a second? Okay? And I felt like Calvin Johnson is able to produce pretty much no matter what. And then with him stretching the field, Reggie Bush doing his thing, blah, 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 win all the way around. If Golden Tate can't produce in that environment, Tate has been tainted. See what I did there?
I would give him more than a year, though. So, but the guy... He was productive. I mean, Russell Wilson, who you know, he was a good pickup. Where, they had that infamous catch play.
The inaccurate reception, you mean?
But yeah, but for Russell Wilson, he was a player that stretches the field, and you have Megatron, who he could be quadruple teamed, and there's a lot of highlights.
Yeah, we've seen it happen. I mean, that, you're not making that up. That's not just hyperbole going on there.
It's, yeah, it's, he comes down with the ball, and it's why, you know, he's Megatron. But number two option, it's, I think finally he has a viable number two.
You think so?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I mean, I don't think Golden Tate is that great. I don't. I don't exactly understand it. The 149 targets and five, and only five misses. Is that five drops or five incompletions? Do you know?
I think maybe that were. I don't think he had a drop last year, so I think they were. I don't think of bad throws or whatever, but
okay. Because here's the so you got 149 drops, not incompletions. Because I'm about to tell you, I bet if I watched the tape, find a little bit more than that. But that's not what I'm getting at. I think if we're going to talk about Golden Tate, the reason why I believe he's getting booted in Seattle, not booted, but like why Seattle would be okay parting with him, is because they have Percy Harvin. Now, granted, but Cal, Percy Harvin was hurt an awful lot last year. Well, yeah, of course he was. But the Seahawks have also played what they might refer to as a metric ton of cash. And picks. You know a little bit about that, right, Vikings fan? So, at this point, and when Harvin was around for, you know, it's funny. The two games he played in, he had some sort of an impact. He scored a touchdown in his only game in the regular season against the Vikings. That must have been fun. Not really. and then in the playoffs, he made some noise against the Saints.
You got to... concussion pretty early on.
Yeah, he got belted twice. I believe he had two different illegal hit penalties called on hits delivered to him in that game, matter of fact. And then he missed the Niner game, blah, blah, then Super Bowl and all that. But what I'm getting to is this. In the games he played in, he had an impact. But he only played in a few games. So that really leaves you in an awkward place. That being said, I think Percy Harvin, even with the element of risk... in quotes, to his existence on that squad, he's a better choice than Golden Tate, don't you?
I would say so.
Okay.
I would say so. Well, of course, with Harbin, I mean, it's sad, you know, but the thing is the guy has a tough time staying on the field.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I haven't heard anything about migraines within the last year, so that helps him out. And
because I got high.
But when you get paid, yeah, when you get paid a contract like that, like he got, he was injured, and what does he do? He comes back and plays a little in the playoffs, and then he has the Super Bowl. Now, his run back for a touchdown, it was right at the start of the second half. It is like you get out of the locker room, you try to pump up your guys, and then that happens. It's like Broncos, it's like that'll wear you down. It's like they got a huge lead, and it was, you know, too much for him. But that really changed the game, and at least he could say that he's good enough, you know, for that contract. But he's just got to stay healthy with Russell Wilson. He can't just have, like, you know, a couple games out there. And they did have good support in the wide receiver spot. So, yeah.
Okay, fair enough, man. I can't front on that a little bit. You know, going around. The free agency, first of all, just a random opinion question. Does it seem like to you there's been more movement lately in free agency?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the thing is you got big names in there too.
So yeah.
Julius Peppers, you got DeMarcus Ware, a guy that's, I think he's still looking for a job is Jared Allen, the defensive end formerly for the Vikings now.
Correct. Very good call.
In his career, I believe he averages 13 sacks per year, which is pretty good.
Pretty good. Pretty good? Honestly, that's the best you can come up with is pretty good for 13 sacks a year average, huh?
Average, yeah. But we'll see if you need a pass rusher, I mean, the guy, he's getting a little up there, but he does produce. So.
Okay. But the point I want to make is a little bit of that might have a little something to do with the salary cap going up. Yep. in the season.
He does want to get paid, and Vikings were like, not this time.
Sorry, homie. Peace. No, but, you know, and something I should have pointed out, too. Let me take it back to the Patriots for a minute. I'll ask you this question. If there was a weakness for the Patriots, what would you say it is?
Let's see.
Is there too many to choose?
Before, I would say maybe the kind of this, not the secondary, but I'd say the like D line.
You say the D line outright, even despite Vince Wilfork. Okay, and yeah, no, I wouldn't say you're wrong. I would have said the secondary, but now that the fastest immovable object in the NFL, known as Vince Wilfork, is no longer a Patriot.
That's what I was getting at.
Yeah. Oh, before they found a way to stop, before they found a way to move the fastest immovable object in the NFL, you would have said the secondary. Now, you say it's their D-line. And I can't agree with you more, my friend. Not only because of the signing of Darrelle Revis, but they also signed another corner, whose name you may not know immediately because he was, say, missing for what would be dubbed in indefinite portion of the previous season. One Brandon Browner, previously across from Richard Sherman in Seattle. He's not on the board, don't look. In Seattle. Now a New England Patriot. So we have Revis and Browner. Now, what do you think the first question that's going to be asked of Brandon Browner as camp begins this year?
Well, he's got to stay on the field.
That's cute. And I don't think that's a bad guess, but I have a better one. Which one's better, Sherman or Revis?
That's always been a big question.
And now, being a guy who would have played with both guys, here comes that question. But you know what? I'm not going to lie. If I was there, I'd ask it too.
Yeah.
You know, and I had to point that out. Elements of irony taking place in this particular concept. Beautiful stuff right there. No. Weasel. And I don't know the best way to get in this particular topic here, because we've come by a little bit. A lot of teams seem to be shipping their biggest defensive players. Even the Bears tried to do more than one. They've already gotten rid of Hester, which, again, Bears fans talked about that. The whole Peanut Tillman thing was weird. They put him on the market, then they ended up taking him back, probably with a restructured contract. That's fine. But I guess age is the factor. Other than the money, we did point out the money. With all these defensive players moving, do you think it's an element of the copycat league thing, where people are seeing the top, arguably the top two best teams in the NFL, being ones with great defenses, and moreover, the Super Bowl winner?
Well, I'd say like definitely the defense for to get to the Super Bowl. It's very important. That's a
yeah.
But
defense wins championships, as they say. I mean, is that what you're getting at?
But about the players that were they're in there like the second half of their career. You got guys like Jared Allen, Julius Peppers, Marcus Ware. Let's see. And the thing about that is that those players, you know, they're impact players. They are getting up there in age.
Yes.
So a lot of them, the contracts are like, essentially, it's for 1 year or 2 years.
Right.
So, while they still, you know, they're getting older, some of them can still definitely produce.
Well, and there's an element of risk to it. I mean, the Niners, as much fun as we make of the Ravens about it, the Niners didn't know that Anquan Boldin was going to produce A, as he did, and B, would be worthy of a multi-year extension afterward. You know, but I don't know. We'll transition from that because there's another question we want to talk about, and we haven't talked about it yet. Pop quiz. Eric Decker, no longer a Bronco. And as you informed me before the show, because I haven't had a chance to look it up, Emmanuel Sanders in Denver? So now it's Sanders, America's favorite new tight end, Julius Thomas, Demaryius Thomas, and Wes Welker with Peyton Manning. Are they better?
It is the question, because you're always going to look back to how he was, Decker was so productive with the Broncos, but I think they're a better team. I think the wide receiver core is better.
Well, and we alluded to it a little bit last week with Decker, you know, right? Decker's had two quarterbacks, basically. One of the quote-unquote worst ones in your boy Tebow, right? And one of the best ones of all time in future Hall of Famer Peyton Manning. We're about to see how good Decker is. Geno Smith, that whole situation in New York, yada, yada, yada. With Emmanuel Sanders, he's one of the guys, along with Mike Wallace, who's now overpaid in Miami. Well, I shouldn't say that because, well, his numbers say he's overpaid, I'll put it that way. I shouldn't say that because of all the offensive line issues in Miami. I believe that offense was deeply affected, and anyone who doesn't at least consider that a possibility doesn't know the game of football well enough. I'm just saying. But, what do you got, Weasel?
Oh, I was just saying that definitely the offensive line, you know, needs help, and in order to get those deep passes to him, it's you need time to make those, you know, deep throws.
When you make a pass, you need protection. There's probably a joke in there somewhere, but we'll move on. So then I'm looking at Emmanuel Sanders. Only quarterback he's really known is Big Ben Roethlisberger. So Cam, you can say the same thing. Well, no, you really can't. Because help me out. Emmanuel Sanders and Mike Wallace came in the league. I don't think they came in the league right at the same time. I think they're 1 year apart, right?
Yeah, very close.
Thank you. Yet, they started to change. They were players that were starting to change the culture of the Steelers from running the ball to passing the ball and found pretty good success doing it. Not last year, obviously, but, you know, 2 years ago. And the Steelers were a threat for postseason. Last year, not so much, due mostly to a lot of injuries, let's be honest. But I feel like the question with Emmanuel Sanders, with him going to Denver, instead of, well, we'll see how good a receiver he is, Emmanuel Sanders, the question is, we'll see how good of a receiver he can be. And I think the fact that that approach even exists is proof in the pudding already that Emmanuel Sanders has proven himself to be the better receiver, right?
Well, the last year they did get rid of Mike Wallace. He went to Miami, and his stats, you know, are pretty decent. I mean, he was like the second and third option. You have Antonio Brown being the guy that did get paid. His one, I think, was like $6 to $7 million a year, and now you have Emmanuel Sanders leaving.
Well, Antonio Brown, you mean, is the guy who's got paid for Pittsburgh?
Yeah, he got paid for Pittsburgh, right. And no Mike Wallace, and they still produce. I mean, you got Got Sanders. He had 6 touchdowns, 740 yards, and a decent average of 11. So when he's actually fortunate to have an upgrade at quarterback. So I think with the Broncos signing him, I think his numbers can go up a little bit.
You know, it's interesting. Roethlisberger is not a bad quarterback, but you have to still consider Peyton Manning an upgrade. I couldn't agree with you any more than that. One more move I want to talk about, and one that kind of shocked me, but I understand. Dexter McCluster to the Tennessee Titans. With McCluster, is more the impact negative on the Chiefs for his departure, or positive on the Titans for his arrival?
I think it's a positive for him on his arrival because. McCluster is he's a very versatile player.
Yes, he is.
You could run it, you throw it to him, block. I mean, the guy does a lot, and hopefully he gets a team with the Titans is creative that, you know, can get him the ball, like kind of similar to the Percy Harvin.
Yeah.
You can make plays for that player, and they can bring out his potential. So we shall see with the... how he does with the Titans.
I love your "we shall see." And you know, at the end of the day, something you got to be reminded of, my brother, is very simple. You got McCluster, who's a versatile back. Mm-hmm. Delanie Walker, you may remember, arrived last year, former 49er in Tennessee. So you have two guys who can line up in the backfield who are also well-known threats passing out of the backfield, and then Kendall Wright's developing, and things are moving in that particular direction with that Titans offense. I think Locker's got to be, you know, make or break, bottom line.
The last year for him?
It should have been last year, but yeah, definitely this year. I don't know. Anyways, it's getting to be that time, Weasel. Had a lot of fun talking free agency with you, of course, my friend.
Word.
On Twitter, you can follow us at the SOTG. Of course, the websites, all about the websites, www.nationalgridironnetwork.com. And please check ProPlayerInsiders.com. Talking up all the awesome with what we were hanging out with there. Hanging out some NFL players this week here in Orlando. Good times all the way around. And so you'll see some pieces up on the site, ProPlayerInsider.com. Some of them done by yours truly. Some by many of the various writers they have there, including the National Gridiron Network's own G. Stelio will be in on it as well. Good times there. Also look out for Teron Davenport. Just talented names there. If you haven't read their stuff, you should. I know you know how to read. I've seen you do it. Anyway, and along with that, next week, I'm sure there'll be more free agency craziness. We'll catch up with you on that where we haven't. But until next time, my friends, well, give it to them one more time. Weasel Wears!
Yeah, boy.
We'll see you next week on the Student League.
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.
I'm sure the mic is off.
Yeah.
Hey, what's going on? You have a, is the board giving you problems or?
I don't know what it is, dude. I'm not really in a place where I can look right now either, frankly. Because I gotta work on writing something.
Like what are some specific problems that you're having?
Everything else is working, and when I try to play something on the computer that you normally hear, you can't hear it. It seems like it's a chord. I agree, but I don't know where it would be.
Hmm.
I don't know where it would be.
I'd give Josh a call.
I did. He was here working on it. We got it to work. I don't know what the fuck happened.
Oh, he was. Okay.
Yeah. No, I did all that, bro. Oh, from your perspective, it's the same thing that happened last week. Yeah, true.
Mm-hmm.
Good questions, brother.
Do you have a cord for this computer?
I do. It's in my laptop bag because I've been using it.
Okay, well, it's a 10%, so.
Okay, go ahead and shut it down.
I'll charge it next time.
Oh no, I have it plugged in when I use it at the hotel.
Okay.
Sucks because now I can't listen to anything on the recording.